easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
John Potter back at you with Greg Kidd for Congress, and Greg is running against incumbent Mark Amadei. No Democrat filed to run in this race, and the Democrats are, I guess, totally silent on this race. They've not endorsed you, have they, Greg?
No endorsement from the Democratic Party, although there are a number of individual Democrats that have endorsed me.
Okay, like Jackie Rosen.
That is correct.
See here. Yeah. Okay, folks, Greg Kidd, you've seen his TV commercials. We're getting to know him, so you know who to vote for come election time. He's, again, as I said, running against Mark Amadei. Tell me more about this digital ID that I spotted on your campaign website, because I had the impression that it was part of your fix to the illegal immigration problem.
Well, look, people, if they have credentials, it could be just on their phone that prove who they are, whether it's voting, whether it's getting your medical records, whether it's opening a bank account, it just makes life easier. And so really all I'm saying is, you know, we need to not be in last place once again. Other states, other countries are further ahead at giving people credentials that just make it easy for them to do things where they need to, like, prove who they are. It's just like, common sense.
Yes. And so you would endorse having an ID to vote also?
Well, you don't need to have an ID to vote, a government ID. If you have something else, you can have a biometric that proves you're who you are. I mean, you want to know that people are who they are, whether you do it with a signature. It's just signatures are pretty old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. We have biometrics. Other countries have already done this. They're way ahead. And, you know, whether it's your fingerprint scan, your iris, or, you know, it could just be voice recognition. There's lots of ways to prove who you are. You don't have to just do it one way.
Mr. Kidd, what prompted you to run for Congress? And I don't think you've ever run for any other public office, but what set you off to run against Mark Amadei?
Well, I haven't run for office, but having worked for the Federal Reserve in Washington, D.C. and gotten bills passed, I've been involved in getting bills passed in Congress for the last 20 years, since before Mark was in Congress. So I'm not new to this game. This is just the first time, because I'm living in a new state that I love. I love Nevada. I want to get involved. And I've seen that the history here has been us, once again, sending more dollars out that are coming in. We just haven't had the energy to get what we deserve as Nevada. And so I'm absolutely focused on going to town to make sure Nevada comes before any party preference. And so that's why I'm running. And I do think that by basically being willing to vote on an issue that matters to Nevada, regardless of whether the bill was introduced by Republicans or Democrats, we can get things done.
All right, we just have just 5 more minutes with you. Folks, give us a call if you'd like to ask Mr. Kidd a question, 775-884-9910. You can also text that number, and Craig will read your question. I have some pet peeves.
Go for it.
About your campaign. Okay, listen, sir, you've got nothing to say in your campaign website about the massive deficit, which honestly surprises me, being that you are in the business world, you're an entrepreneur, who I'm sure has dealt with budgets and numbers. Don't you see the danger that our deficit poses for our country, which is like skyrocket? I mean, headed for default the way it's going.
Well, absolutely. I'm from the Federal Reserve, and, you know, we do monetary policy. So if we look at an administration like, you know, the last two that have both run up deficits, I mean, it is true that under Mr. Trump, we did increase the national deficit, the national debt, by $6.5 trillion. Look, I'm frustrated. Mark Amadei, he made a crack and said, look, you know, after the tax cuts, he mentioned that we have more IRS agents than Border Patrol agents. I think we need to have the right amount for both. If we don't collect the taxes that are due, our deficit, our debt is going to skyrocket. We need to be responsible. We cannot keep printing money. Look, I'm from the Fed. We're number one on stable financial policy. And so I take that very, very seriously.
Well, yet you are endorsed by Jackie Rosen and you are going to vote for Kamala Harris for president. Notorious spenders.
Excuse me. I just quoted the statistic. You can say notorious spenders, but the biggest increase to
you mentioned Trump's spending. So I'm just countering with the Democrat spending that we've seen with the Biden-Harris administration and also with Jackie Rosen?
I have, but I'm also looking at the numbers. I can't help being a numbers guy. $6.5 trillion added to the national debt during the Trump administration. That's the most that's ever been added to the national debt during a four-year period in the history of our country.
A lot of that pandemic spending, of course. And also, sir, crime. I see nothing in your website about crime. Something like bail reform, which is voted on a national basis. What do you have to say about that?
So I'm tough on crime. I believe the guys with guns and badges should be given the tools they need. I work in the banking industry where we're looking at like money laundering fraud. It's off the charts. And so once again, I think if there's good identity credentials, it's a lot easier for guys with guns and badges to be knocking on the right door. So I see nuts and bolts work in that area as foundational to getting crime under control in this country.
The last poll I saw about this race, you had like 29%. This was in June. Have you done, I would imagine you do your own poll or something. I mean, what kind of numbers are you looking at in terms of how much support you're getting?
Well, I think that poll had us within the margin of error. The big group that's the big question mark are undecided voters. A lot of those are nonpartisan. And so, you know, part of the issue is just to get name recognition. Now we need to make sure people are going to pull the lever. And so it's going to be down to the, you know, down to the wire. And it's, you know, part of the reason I'm out in the rurals is every single vote counts. And, you know, we are here. If Mark Amadei wins the seat, he's going to have to earn it. He hasn't had to work very hard for it. And I super, super value the opportunity to meet people out here where they're at and to make a difference. And once again, to put Nevada first ahead of any party politics.
All right. Those are my questions. Craig, do you want to try to get these calls on the air? Let's go to Ron here, calling from rural Fallon, Nevada. Ron, you're on the air with Greg Kidd for Congress. Go ahead.
Yes, Greg. I've been watching your ads, and they're interesting, and you are interesting. But I have a couple of questions, and one is not really a question. It's a sort of a dilemma. I have my issues with Mark Amadei, but I voted for him. I consider myself conservative, and I've met him a few times. And my concern is when an independent comes along with the right platform, the right things to say, which you do have, we run the risk of losing someone who's reasonably conservative, at least, and getting a left winger in there. That's my. And even though you may pull plenty of votes, you'll probably pull them from the right. That's a big concern. And the other concern I have is what is your opinion or your platform, I guess you could say, on the use of public lands, especially for the cattlemen, the sheepmen, the miners, the hunters, you know, and Nevada is loaded with public land.
Absolutely. Let me start with your second question first, which is I don't think there's big daylight between me or any of the congressional representatives in Nevada, Democrats or Republicans, on land use policy and basically the land acts. I mean, Mark has been doing his job on that area, have other folks from Nevada, and I would continue with that. There's 86% of the land here is federal land. We have to figure out which of it we want to access how. It's expensive if there's like wildfires. So we just have to like work through that. We have to nut through that at the local issue. And that I'm no different than the folks in the history that we've had here in Nevada. And I think they've been doing a good job on that. With regards to like me being like, you know, too far to the left, et cetera, whatnot, I pulled in the parking lot last night. I heard Mark Amadei's first attack ad on me. And he was giving me a hard time about being like a Democrat and wolf's clothing. I will remind you, I've never been a Democrat registered in my life. Mark was, in fact, in his attack ad, he talks about how he was a Democrat up till 1988. It makes me wonder, did he vote for George McGovern? My positions and the issues that I'm, you know, I'm working on, and I'm just back from time in, you know, in Wyoming, and my bank where I work is Oklahoma. Those are two of the reddest states in the country. They make, you know, Nevada look kind of, you know, kind of liberal by comparison. And so, you know, I'm going to meet people, okay, and I represent the people here, and that's my job.
All right, Ron, thanks for the question. Ron, good question, but I got to bring up, there's a great advantage Amadei has with seniority and being very effective in that position, in that long-term position of having more power to help the state of Nevada. There's nothing you can do about that, Mr. Kidd, but that's just the way it is. Let's go to Ryan calling from Incline.
Well, hey, Ryan. Excuse me. You disagree with that? I absolutely disagree with that.
Go ahead.
So Mark, other than working on land bills, has no major legislative accomplishment in his last 12 years. I've worked for years now on getting bills passed, not because of what committee I'm on, but just basically working with both parties and working with the folks that are on the staff of existing congressmen, just that now I'll actually be in Congress as opposed to doing that behind the scenes. But we get legislation passed not because of seniority of our committee assignments, and so I don't have any illusions about that. But I do know how to get bills passed and get things done on Capitol Hill. And like I said, I've been in Washington longer than Mark has.
Well said. Okay, let's go to Ryan and Incline, and we'll run through these calls quickly. Ryan, go ahead. You're on with Greg Kidd. Lost him? Okay. Let's move on to Greg. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Okay, let's pass on that. Greg is calling from Reno. Greg is calling about Kamala Harris. Hi, Greg, go ahead.
Kamala Harris has been an elected official for 30-some-odd years. I was surprised to hear that you support her, and I'd be interested to know one or perhaps two things that she's actually done that you admire. Not chat, but things she's actually accomplished in all that time that you admire. And thank you, sir.
So again, I do admire the fact that Kamala's come from an immigrant family and worked her way up. I have my differences with Kamala Harris, I'll be quite frank, and I've had my differences with the Biden administration as well, but I don't have a problem with her values. I don't think that she basically degrades or talks down to people. And so, as I said before, my interests might be aligned with the Trump administration, but my values in terms of like just how I grew up and was schooled just means that I, you know, character matters, and I just don't want to have folks that basically talk down to people. And so Harris has not done that. So I don't have a long list of admirations. But you know, that's where I come out if I have to choose between the two.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir.
And that's
great.
That's certainly an answer to some question, but not.
We're losing you. I understand how you feel. Appreciate it.
Happy to follow up if more to be said on that.
Okay. How can people contact you?
I'm going to give out my email address. It's gregkidd@gmail.com. So that's a good place to get in touch with me directly. And there's a contact form on the website, Greg Kidd for Nevada, where you can start a conversation, and we'll get back to folks there as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting race for sure. Greg Kidd for Congress, I thank you for being gracious enough to go overtime with us and spend so much time talking to our listeners. They're very politically involved. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for the chance. Take care.
All right. He called me sir twice, folks. Oh, my gosh. I'm John Potter, live and local. Be back in a couple of minutes. It's 1119, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 1119.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
That we are. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday from 9 to noon on the phone. He's appearing at the Carson City Nugget tonight, and at the end of the interview, we'll have tickets to give away to his show. Welcome back, comedian John DiResta. Hey, John.
Hey, John Potter. Nice to hear you.
It's been a week. We talked to you last week, and the impression that I was left with after speaking with you on the air is that you are one of these comedians who thinks funny. You look at everyday events in your life, you look at everyday news stories, and your mind is always working, and you come up with a very humorous angles to them. So I got to ask you, since we last talked on the air a week ago, what have you observed lately? Maybe it's a news event or something like that that you found humor in, John.
Oh, that you're funny. I do kind of concentrate on the funny. I was New York's funniest cop And I was on the news a lot making jokes about being a New York City cop. And I heard there was a meeting of a bunch of big cheeses in the NYPD that wanted to get me in trouble. And one guy stood up and said, John DiResta, if he was a garbage man, he would be New York's funniest garbage man. And we'd be making jokes about being a garbage man. So we should let him off the hook. And they did. You're funny, though, that you said that. I do think, well, funny. I carry a notebook.
Yeah.
I'm in Carson now. Maybe that's funny. I'm in Carson City. I'm at the Hampton House. Do you know this hotel?
Oh, yes. I've stayed there. Hampton House. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm at the Hardman House.
Hardman. You're right. Gosh, what am I thinking?
Yeah, Hardman
you're
House.
Right.
And the one thing I noticed is that, boy, is there a lot of motorcycles that keep me from my nap.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't even brought that up. Street vibrations in town. I can hear them through the window as I speak. But So you're talking about being the funniest.
A lot of tattooed women. A lot of tattooed women in leather jackets. I like it.
You came at the right time. So being the funniest cop, you didn't get in trouble for being the funniest cop? I mean, I imagine there are some things that you could say back then that you can't say now as a police officer. Is that true?
Here's what happened, John. It was a very weird situation. I was a New York City transit cop in the subway. So there was all the jokes of you ride. Our slogan was you ride, we hide. You know, are we real cops? You know, do we carry a gun? And, you know, instead of saying police don't move, we say transit, don't laugh. We were always looked down upon as a second class citizen in the police world. So all my jokes came out of that. And just as I started to get famous and get on TV, the NYPD took us over. So now I was I was finally a New York City cop. And I was making fun of a police department that didn't exist anymore. So it was a very gray area. So when they called me in, I said, look, I'm making jokes about being a transit cop. I'm not a transit cop. Now I'm NYPD. I've reached my my pinnacle. So it was funny how I had to kind of talk my way out of it. And it worked. It worked. But I wind up resigning and moving to L.A. in 1998.
But you were a plainclothes cop, right?
Well, you could say I was, watch this, I was in plain clothes in the subway, but I was in the homeless outreach unit. So I wasn't looking for criminals. I wasn't looking to arrest anybody. We just basically would take our clients, heavy quotes, out of the subway and take them to the shelter. So I was plain clothes in the homeless outreach unit, except for the flea collar. Thank you.
Appearing at Carson City Nugget tonight, comedian John DiResta. Okay, we touched on the fact that you've been in many TV shows, namely your own, and a bunch of movies. And I sure would like to hear some of your movie experience stories, being in the movies with the stars that we all know and love. What can you tell us there?
Well, I'm in Miss Congeniality 1 and 2. I'm in both. Me and her might be the only. There's a few characters that made it 1 and 2. But in 1 and 2, I got in part 2, I got shot. My character gets shot in the chest. And I'm in a movie called 15 Minutes with Robert De Niro. And in that movie, I got shot in the shoulder. So I got shot in two big feature films. And the joke I've been doing lately is that thank God I didn't do a movie with Alec Baldwin. Hero!
Obviously, you play being shot really well to get So what about the stars? What are they like? Miss Congeniality, that's Sandra Bullock. Give us some insight.
Sandra Bullock, very nice, very, very nice, down to earth. And I love her till the day I die. I'm single. She's recently single. I'm putting it out there that I lost 75 pounds since she saw me. So I would like to do Miss Congeniality 3, where her and I fall in love in the movie and in real life.
What is this? He had a woodworking show?
I did. I had 3 woodworking shows. I'm an internationally known reclaimed woodworker. I do tables for restaurants, and I had 3 woodworking shows. I was the funny Howard Stern-ish guy and a woodworker on Trash to Cash on FX. 2 years later, we did a show called Hammered with John and Jimmy DiResta, my brother. That got 26 episodes. That was on HGTV. And then the final one was called Dirty Money, about finding stuff in the street, redoing it, and reselling it to the same people that threw it out. And that was called Dirty Money.
Oh, was that Norm Macdonald? No, was it Dirty Money?
I had nothing to do with Norm MacDonald. I do respect him as a comedian, but I never met him.
I thought that was the movie he was in. But, boy, I mean, what interests you have there?
No, you're right, dude. He had a movie called Dirty Work. We had a TV show called Dirty Money.
Okay,
and we didn't name it that.
And, well, do tell us your hobbies, too, as we get to know you, my friend. Besides woodworking, what are your hobbies?
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I think it's legal now. I'm not a cop anymore. There's no drug test when you're a comedian. So I like to dabble in a tiny bit of to take the edge off with the herb, a little bit, not a lot, because when I drink, I get gout. I'm white trash, so I've gotten gout before. So I like to take the edge off, and I listen to heavy metal. I'm not sure if you know that. I'm addicted to heavy metal. For breakfast today, I had Black Sabbath.
Okay, fascinating.
For lunch, I'll have Black Sabbath, and you know what I'll have for dinner? Corn.
Okay.
That was a heavy metal joke, Sam, my friend.
I got it. I just got it. So you're based in L.A. You're coming all the way to Carson City to do a show. You travel far for these shows, John?
It's funny you ask. I was a real road dog comedian every weekend for about 5 years, you know, and that gets really old. You know, just watching crab fishing shows in a Motel 6 for, you know, 24 hours at a time. So I kind of took the woodworking a little bit more serious, so I don't have to travel as much. You know, I make a little money at home in L.A. But I travel about every 8 weeks. And when you do it about every 8 weeks, you look forward to it. But I've been to Alaska 5 times and as a comedian, and I've been as far as Hong Kong. I did 2 shows in Hong Kong.
Wow.
And
what was
I was
like?
A little bit heavier then, and I didn't have the goatee, and I had the New York accent, no neck. I had the lesbian haircut, as my dad would call it. So I'm in Hong Kong, and everyone thinks they're coming to see Rosie O'Donnell. You, Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You're from Long Island. All right.
Okay. I shouldn't laugh at that. One more question. I'm picturing Hong Kong comedy audiences. I mean, audiences are different. I mean, they really are. I think in England, they're more reserved. What are some of the different reactions that you've had in different places that are emblematic, that are just connected to that culture?
It's a good question. I should clarify that in Hong Kong, the 2 shows, a Friday, Saturday, were almost all English-speaking audiences. So believe it or not only were they English-speaking, I had a whole table full of guys in Hong Kong that knew me, that were fans of mine, that were friends because they're from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, and they're all in the toy business. So my 2 brothers were in the toy business, in the invention business for years. So I had a whole table full of guys. I had Mark Patsoner, Digger's girlfriend, all these guys I knew from Long Island were sitting at a table in Hong Kong. You know what I mean? So it was funny that I was doing inside jokes about being a Long Islander with them, and the other people just laughed along with it. So I had more fans and friends in Hong Kong than I do here in Carson City tonight. It was a strange little mix.
Might get some motorcycle material for tonight there, John, and entertain those tattooed ladies. Let's give away some.
Oh, listen, I got the tattoos. I got about 15 tattoos. I'm certified white trash.
Okay, let's do some ticket. Yeah,
go ahead, do some ticket stuff.
Let's do it. Okay, you're appearing tonight at the Carson Nugget. Show times are 6 and 8 p.m. Folks, you can buy your tickets at ccnugget.com or going to the box office at the Carson City Nugget like today. But we're giving away 3 pair right now. And we like to make it nice and easy. Folks, text in to Craig at 775-884-9910. Leave text your name, and your phone number.
Which show you want to attend.
And there you go. And which show you'd like to
attend.
And
I'm going to clarify, John. I have 10 pairs of tickets to each show.
Lord.
So 20 tickets to each show.
Let's get it on.
You're going to be a very busy man, Craig. Okay. John DiResta, thank you so much for sharing some laughs with us.
Oh, thank you for having me twice, and I'll be back. I'll be back. You guys have been great to me.
Do it. Okay, sir. Take care. Folks, if you miss out on the free tickets at 884-9910, 10 pair. Oh, my gosh. He's generous. You can buy them at the box office of the Carson City Nugget. Got a break for Fox News now. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:33.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations and to our last final half hour. Hope you had a good week. I had, I'm glad you asked. I had another locals getaway. This week, last week was the South Lake Tahoe getaway where we walked out of the big country concert because we thought the second opening act was the main act. Danage, hey, so stupid. So anyway, this week, I'm not going to name names. We stayed at a major Reno casino hotel this week, mainly to swim and hang out at the pool and get away from those cats. And if you haven't been to a large hotel lately, they are now trying very hard to push you toward mobile digital check-in. Like everybody else, they're trying to do with the fewest employees possible and leading us into this impersonal go to the kiosk, get your QR code, swipe your credit card, and get your key. So check-in, it was the line of seniors at what they called standard check-in, and everybody else just flashing their phones at the kiosks and getting their keys right away. So because of that, instead of the six people they usually have working at the counter there, at the standard check-in, instead of the six people, they just had two with this long line that we had, with a third employee who now and then came up to us and yelled how there's open kiosks for us to use. And I wanted to ask, how about a third clerk to check in these old folks? But, you know, I didn't, because I've learned how behavior at check-in greatly affects how good or not your room is going to be. But I noticed that no matter how long our line got, they would just not add that another employee. And so this is their, and they're not alone in this, this is their not so subtle way to push us to digital. It's sad, you know, because we know this is the beginning and that all hotels are going to end up doing this same thing. On the other hand, I was mightily impressed with this new elevator technology that we have here in town. So this is how it works. You go up, you scan your key card on the panel, and the screen lights up with floors. You choose your floor, and the screen tells you which elevator to stand in front of. So you have your own assigned elevator, and it opens in like 3 seconds. It's right there. You go in the elevator, and there are no buttons inside the elevator. It's so basically, it's like your private car, and it takes you right to the floor that you pressed on the panel. It works. I mean, there are no floor buttons on these elevators, and there was no waiting for these elevators because this system was so quick with everybody. Doors open right away. So that's here in Reno. I'm sure it's coming elsewhere too. They told me that these elevators use AI, that this system's brain understands human behavior. And so the elevator, because after 2 years' time, it's got all the data of what where people go, what floors they go to. And so the elevators are going to rest at the floors that are most popular day by day, and they know where to station, so they open up right away. AI is just getting more and more into my life lately. And actually, you know, a lot of it I like. Google Maps, you know, a lot of getting you where you're going to is from AI. Google Maps uses their AI to predict the traffic and the routes that people are going to go on by analyzing historical traffic patterns, human behavior at slowdowns, and what alternates people have had good luck with. It's all based on past behavior that AI uses, and it works well. Google Maps has saved me time and time again. I actually miss trying to figure out where I'm going. And I'm like the king of getting lost. I really am, so it's a great help to me. I used to understand paper maps, but now that talent is no longer useful. That's a story of my life. AI is being used for nefarious reasons, too. Some negatives here. You can take I don't know if you saw these videos online. They're hilarious. But you could take a football coach or a football player talking on video, and if you use AI, you can copy their voice, and you even alter their lip patterns on the video, and you make each celebrity say the most ridiculous things. And there is this AI fake video of Bill Belichick being totally obscene about every other coach in the week. And there's a tape of Brock Purdy, nice guy Brock Purdy, bashing every member of his team.
Oh, McCaffrey, I don't know how he got that contract. They way overpaid him.
It's his voice, and his lips are moving, and it matches. He says,
I'd be a great quarterback if I could get some decent receivers.
Very believable stuff. And people believe these on Facebook. The voice and the lips match. You know, these kind of fakes, they terrify politicians and talk show hosts alike. How far it's come. I remember my first encounter with AI going on a company's website. You probably have done the same exact thing. You go on a company's website to resolve an issue that you have with their product, and the little box opens up on the right. Hi, I'm Susie. Can I help you? Wow. Hey, there's somebody on with me already. And I typed in, hi, Susie. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. Hi, Susie. My car battery is dead, and my keyless entry remote won't open the door. How can I get inside? And I get back, our keyless entry system removes the need for a physical key to unlock car doors. Use the fob to unlock the door hands-free. And, see, I'm really dumb. I thought, oh, wow, she's fast typist. I'm dense. I still believed it was her. And I wrote back, yeah, but, see, my car battery is dead and the car won't react. Get back in 2 seconds. A car battery can die for a number of reasons. Here are some signs that your car battery may be dead. Dashboard warning light, et cetera, et cetera. Then I recognized, you know, the old cut and paste in action here. Now I see AI when I read news articles. Example, Kathy and I, we watch football, and I like to Google to find out the point spread of a game that we're watching, to see what the gamblers are betting, out of curiosity. So I Google it. I Googled Cowboys Giants spread, and I clicked the first article that came up. It's always CBS Sports, and this one was CBS Sports, Cowboys versus Giants spread, odds, prediction for TNF game, Thursday Night Football game. And it's always this, you go to the story, and it's always this long, seven-paragraph article that just goes on and on with the team's histories and their rivalry and this quarterback's record and the other ones. And if this happens in this game, it'll be the fourth consecutive time. Just a bunch of old facts. And I'm like, where's the spread? I just want to know the spread. That tells you it's an obvious AI article. And it's the same every week. And I feel that AI, sad to say, it breaks my heart, has crept into news articles too. It looks like a lazy reporter's heaven out there. You throw in a few facts, let AI write the article in 10 seconds. I knew a lazy reporter, and he would love this. We nicknamed him Motion Light because he would suddenly work when somebody walked by. But AI already writing news stories is not funny, to be honest. It's just horrifying to me. Anyway, okay, I'm John Potter. Phone number. Hey, Craig, let's open up the lines for just one more segment here. Our phone number 775. Thank you. 775-884-9910. One more segment with me. Not a AI, okay? We're here every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1149.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. Phone number 884-9910. Let's go to the phones. Calling from Incline, it's Ryan. Ryan, good morning. I'm glad you called.
glad you had a great show today. Really enjoyed the segment with Mr. Kidd. And I'm guessing I'm similar to many of your listeners that maybe are not necessarily a full Trump Republican, but will be voting for the policies and not the person. I can't in good faith consider, even as much as I liked many things the kid said, to me he sounded like the classic California, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm going to come over here, I'm going to say all the things, and I moved here in full disclosure from Southern California, but I've embraced Nevada. I love the state, I love the people, and I'm wondering if I share the same reservations now, and I was considering voting for him. But to tell me that you're not voting for someone because you don't like their personality, but they have great policies and they've benefited so many people in this country, and then you have a candidate that didn't even receive a single vote in the primary, it seems not just un-American, it just seems undedicated to the Constitution, which is what the country's founded on. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but I will have to give the guy credit. You know, most politicians who are running for office are not bold enough to tell a conservative audience that they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. So the guy was straight up honest. I really respected him for doing that. When he said that, I thought, oh, my gosh, well, he just lost a bunch of votes there. But the guy's an honest guy, and he came out smart, and his answers were succinct and short. I think I ticked him off when I brought up the fact that his campaign website doesn't say anything about the deficit, says nothing about crime. He got irritated, called me sir a couple of times. That's when you know it's time to back off. But I was impressed with the guy. I really am. But I also was prepared not to be. And I'll tell you what, being in Nevada most of my life, Nevadans, I'm talking to you, how many times have we seen a California millionaire come to Nevada, establish residency for 2 years or so, and decide to run for office in Nevada? So they get the cowboy hat.
100%.
And they sit on the horse, and they're out in this big wide open vista talking about how I'm for you, Nevada, and everything like that. It's almost like a Burning Man dress-up show. And all these California millionaires, and there have been a bunch of them, they all lose. They all lose because it doesn't fool anybody. But I thought Mr. Kidd was a lot more honest than those impersonators that we've seen in the past.
I'll just finish with this comment. I 100% appreciate that, because it is nice to see someone that's running for office that actually is not just going to sit there and lie to your face for your vote. But I will also say that I am no longer considering, even though I don't like Mr. Amadeus, all of his policies, I cannot vote for what I see as a classic California wolf in sheep clothing coming to Nevada to turn a state purple, if not blue.
Absolutely. I'm with you there, Ryan. I'm glad you made it through on the phone here from Incline. Have a great day, sir. Take care. You know, that's that phone call is an example of why I do this radio show. I am a curious man. I was asked once, how did you choose journalism for a career? How did you get into reporting news? How did you get into TV news? I always have one word answer. I say curiosity. And I have learned not to trust government spokespeople. I don't trust social media. I don't trust corporations for truth and honest answers. So when I need to know something, when I need an answer, I look to you folks. And well, actually, truth is the main reason I ask for answers on the air, because I'm too lazy to use Google. I like hearing from somebody who's right there and has personal experience, real experience with whatever subject is out there that I bring up. And God knows what I'm going to bring up. I went 15 minutes on AI. Sorry about that. It just bugs me. Anyway, I hope you had a great week. Enjoy the weekend. Get the earplugs, street vibrations, obviously, in town. I can hear it right now. Say hi to the tattooed ladies. Listen, I like it. I really do. You have to. The town is always interesting when you have different crowds like this come in. So I enjoyed my time with you here today, and I'll be with you again, God willing, next Saturday from 9 to noon. Craig in Carson City, thank you for your running the show with four arms, I'm picturing here today. You did a great job, and congratulations to our ticket winners, too. Have a great weekend. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.